It's a hymn that expands your lungs as well as your heart, isn't it? Well, this morning, I don't have a passage that we're going to work through. I don't do this very often, but I'm cherry picking, really. And you'll see some verses appear on the screen as we go through, if I remember to click. Is it still Black Friday? You might think that's a stupid question, but I was on my phone this morning and saw an advert for a Black Friday offer. And I thought that was two Fridays ago. Black Friday seems to last a long time. Those of you who are younger, probably, well, maybe Black Friday's gone over your head. Those of you who are a little bit older think, yeah, Black Friday, bargains. Those of us who are over a certain age think, where on earth did Black Friday come from? We didn't have it when we were children. It's an American import, a bit like Halloween. Not necessarily a good one. You get bombarded with offers, bargains it seems, and some of them actually turn out to be quite good. I was very surprised to find a Black Friday offer for my broadband deal that I currently have that would save me half the money, more or less, and I assumed I couldn't get it. But the company very kindly allowed me to take up this offer, which was a real good thing as far as I was concerned. But if you read Which magazine, which is a consumer magazine that tells you what's worth doing and what isn't worth doing, they say that an awful lot of Black Friday deals are not what they're cracked up to be. This fantastic offer that they urge you to buy because it's only got one day and 12 hours and 37 minutes and 14 seconds before it expires, you could have got it cheaper 3 months ago, and you might get it cheaper in another 3 months. It's a bit sneaky, isn't it, really? But our Christmas as Christians shouldn't be like that. I want to share with you, in a real speedy run-through, really, our Christmas theme that we're working through down in the West End. And our theme is that these things are the best offers that you will get this Christmas. We're basing our Sunday messages on this theme. That's great, but there aren't going to be too many people listening to those messages. So we will put them on our website. Not too many people will look at that. But we do have a leaflet that we're producing, and we're going to give it out with a Christmas card to, well, at least 500 people locally. And if we can get them out, the best part of 1,000. We really think this message is something to share. The best offers you'll get this Christmas. And of course, they're all wrapped up with the baby who was born at Bethlehem. Talking of which, where is the baby, Joe? Oh, at the back. Hello, Wing. I haven't seen the baby yet. Really looking forward to that. Good. Don't go straight after the service. So, let's see what these offers are. I didn't look to see whether you can see them. Yes, you can. That's not too bad, is it? Christmas is a time for getting together, isn't it? It's a time for happy families, which is great if you've got one. You know, thank God for families who are able to get together and have a happy time over Christmas, but not everyone will be able to do that for all sorts of reasons. Some family gatherings will happen, but they will not be trouble-free. Some families are fractured, broken up, separated by more than distance. Some families will have empty spaces. And some people aren't so worried about their families. They're worried about the relationship that's broken up between them and their boyfriend, their girlfriend. Perhaps they're worried about relationships that haven't even begun yet. They want somebody they don't have. As we get older, we find perhaps that we have few friends and fewer with each passing year. And some people perhaps would say they'd never, ever had a real friend. So for all the happiness of getting together at Christmas time, for many people, it will be lonely this Christmas. Which is why the offer of love seems to be so important. Where do we get that from in the Bible? All over the place. But let's stick with this one for this morning. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. This is an offer that money can't buy. But it's not an offer that is made without any cost, is it? John, in his first letter, says, "In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." He sent his Son to be sacrificed so that God's punishment for our sins is taken from us and placed on Jesus. The offer of God's love is an offer that God gives freely. None of us can say to God, "You've got to love me. You must love me. Look at me. Aren't I lovable?" We can't say that. We don't deserve God's love. "Look what I've done. I've been at church every week for a year." Actually, you haven't probably, because of the coronavirus regulations. But you know what I mean. Sometimes we do think too much of ourselves, don't we? "Look what I've done for God." Those things that we really don't want to do, but we know we ought to do because we're Christians, and we do them grudgingly, and we think God should praise us for that. No, we don't deserve God's love. We've got no claim on God's love. But what has he done? He's loved the world by giving us his one and only son, Jesus. And, of course, he didn't just give Jesus to be born as a baby and grow up and have a lovely life, an ideal life, and then, well, the ending could have been different, couldn't it? No, he gave Jesus into the world to die. The cost of that to the Lord Jesus and to his Father is beyond our understanding. But what generosity! Why did God give his Son? Because that's who we most need. The only person who can give us what we need if we are to be reconciled to God is Jesus. So the heart of God's love is in this giving of his Son to save us from eternal punishment. Those Black Friday offers have nothing in comparison with the offer which was sealed on Good Friday. The offer of God is love which brings life. Let's think about joy. Everybody wants a good time at Christmas, don't they? Presents, parties, holidays. Where we live in the West End, the whole world seems to come to town, even though there is some hesitation because of the virus. And it's bizarre, really, that Christmas lasts so long. If you think Black Friday lasts a long time, Christmas, wow! I was walking down the road last night and Santa Claus is coming to town and we wish you a Merry Christmas, and it's December the 4th. And the parties are taking place. Even though there's the threat of Omicron, people are partying. But what happens when the party is over? Again, while I was back for a walk yesterday evening, I was walking along Piccadilly and a girl almost literally fell out of a cab across the central reservation bit and flat on her back in the roadway in the middle of Piccadilly. Well, thankfully, she didn't seem to be too badly hurt. Thankfully, there was no traffic coming on at the time as she got up and her friends took her onto the pavement. Why did she fall out of the cab? Because she'd been partying. And then around the corner, the two girls sitting on a ledge having a smoke. "I can't believe everything that's happened tonight. and it's only 9:30. You don't have to have a hangover after Christmas, because the offer of God is joy. And here's the Bible verse that we're going to pick up from the Christmas story. "Fear not," said the angel to the shepherds, "for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Joy, it's an offer that you really can't do without. Now, in the Christmas story, we read that Mary experienced a unique joy. "My spirit rejoices in God my Saviour." That's from her song in Luke chapter 1. Well, we call it her song, Luke writes, "And Mary said." But her spirit rejoices in God her Saviour. Well, why was that? Well, because God had favoured her. She had found favour with God. She'd seen an angel, Gabriel had come, and Gabriel had brought a message. And she knew she was pregnant. She knew that the angel's message was beginning to come true. The message was turning into flesh and blood within her. And then she had confirmation of all that she'd experienced, because she went to her cousin Elizabeth. Elizabeth, an old lady, couldn't possibly have children, but she'd had a similar experience. Well, her husband Zechariah had seen the angel, but the message was the same: you're going to have a child. Your wife is going to have a child. And Elizabeth was pregnant too. So Mary was rejoicing in God's goodness to her personally. But she knew, and we know, and we read it in this verse, that the news of Mary's baby was not just good news for Mary, not just joy for Mary. The joy was for the shepherds on the hillside outside Bethlehem. The joy was for all the people. Joy because God was fulfilling his centuries old promise to save his people. And the birth of Jesus, even if you want to put it all together, the life, the ministry, the death, the resurrection of Jesus, I was going to say, wasn't a one-off event. Well, of course it was a one-off event. There is no other Jesus. But what I mean by that is, when Jesus ascended into heaven, the joy was not over. Paul could say, "Rejoice in the Lord always," because the salvation that Jesus came to bring keeps going. This is joy that you can find even in the most difficult circumstances. This is joy which will last. What about peace? We live in a very divided world, don't we? Brexit split the nation. What was it, 52-48? The battle's over. The effects linger on. I suspect maybe the war isn't over. Who knows? Then there are culture wars, aren't there? People with completely different value systems clashing. One of the obvious areas in life at the moment is sexuality and gender, all that stuff. What can you say, what can't you say without provoking hostility from other people, without facing hostility from other people? Somehow even the slogan "Black Lives Matter" can cause division. And then when you look at the world as a whole, there's never-ending international tension, isn't there? Anyone trust the Russians? Maybe not the Russians. Does anybody trust Vladimir Putin? And I guess Russians say, can anybody trust Boris Johnson and whoever? The Chinese, same sort of thing, but these differences, well, they make headlines, but they could lead to violence and strife in Ukraine, in the South China Sea, even in Africa. Most of us have got some awareness of the tensions in the Middle East that just haven't gone away and are not going to go away. And there are lots and lots of much lesser known issues all over the world, where the enmity of people for one another causes huge trouble, damage, loss of life. We live in a world where we need peace. Here's the verse that can address that. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. This is a crowd of angels worshipping, seen by those shepherds. Peace is an offer which could change your world. One day it will change everything. But today, peace could change your world, because the angels are talking about peace with God, first of all. And a peace with God enables you to be at peace even when you have enemies. Because peace with God means that you can enjoy a peace which, as Paul says, surpasses understanding. A peace which you can enjoy and experience because Almighty God is watching over you. He's committed himself to you. And that peace comes through faith in Jesus, the baby at Bethlehem, as not just the saviour of the world, but your saviour. Peace, as we keep saying, by the blood of the cross. Peace through the sacrifice that Jesus was to make. And it's a peace which is to be lived out in the life of the church. It's a peace that we can enjoy, as I've said, even in the middle of life's toughest circumstances. This is peace which will withstand the fiercest struggles, because it comes from God. Who wouldn't want that? And then the last of our great offers from the gospel, the offer of hope. Are you fearful about the future? You've got lots of reasons to be, I would suggest. Some of you might be concerned about climate change. Perhaps you should be more afraid if you're not concerned about climate change, because things are changing. What sort of a world are we going to leave for our children? I'm all right. But what about my children and their children? What sort of world will they live in if we don't take any action? On a personal level, all sorts of things to be worried about. Ill health. Possibility of losing your job. Debts mounting up. Maybe even homelessness at the end of it. And for some people, on the streets of London, that's a reality. That's what happens. Some, of course, have reached that situation in other ways. They've made foolish decisions, wrong decisions. They're addicted to something, this or that. And they can't control their behaviour. They can't keep a job. They can't keep a home. But some people have reached that situation in a way that could happen to any of us. And in the face of a world like that, where do we find hope? And the answer, of course, is in Jesus. Now, this is slightly different from the other verses we've quoted. This is Matthew's Gospel, and Jesus himself speaking, quoting from Isaiah. And at the end of a passage of prophecy, Jesus says these words from Isaiah: in his name, the Gentiles will hope. In whose name? Well, in the name of the one who is going to come. Well, and Jesus is telling us that one has come. That one is me. This is God's servant. This is the beloved one. The one with whom God is pleased. The one who has God's spirit upon him. The one who will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. Jesus is presenting an offer for everyone. In a world which seems so uncertain, a world which can seem so unfair, here is someone who is coming with authority, someone who cares, someone who is coming to bring just rule. And he comes first of all to the Jews. He is their Messiah. He is the king that God has promised. They didn't understand all exactly what sort of salvation he would bring, what sort of king he would be. But this is King Jesus. And he doesn't just come for the Jews. In his name, the Gentiles, the rest of us will have hope. And that's good news. That's great news. That's the best possible news. If you are feeling hopeless today, Jesus Christ is the one who can give you hope. Now, I've painted a fairly bleak picture of people's life and circumstances. People who are lonely, people who are on their own, people who are, well, suffering after the party, people who are at war with one another, people who are afraid. And a lot of folk today will say, well, that's not me. I'm looking forward to Christmas. It's great. Doing well in my job. Got this lined up, that lined up. I think I know what I'm getting from my wife, my husband, my children, whatever it is as a present. I think I'm going on holiday afterwards. Fantastic. The troubles of the world, not interested. Well, if you don't have any need, you don't need Jesus, and you are going to miss out on true love, true joy, true peace, true hope. But for many people, some of those things I've said will strike a chord, perhaps even with you this morning. What I want to encourage you to do is to focus on those things through these coming weeks. Love, joy, peace, hope. Do you have them? Because if you do, then this Christmas truly can be wonderful. You've got every opportunity in the coming days to savor those things. As you hear the story again, the Christmas story from Matthew's Gospel, from Luke's Gospel, as you hear those readings of prophecy from years before Jesus was born, as we think about what Jesus will do in the future. Oh, it's a wonderful thing. As we sing these great carols that we're going to sing in the next few weeks. And more than that, in your everyday experience, you can be more tuned in to God showing his love to you. You can be more tuned in to the joy that he gives. Sometimes joy in the world around us. Sometimes joy in Christian fellowship. All sorts of joy to be had in this world as a gift of God. You can be tuned into the peace that you can really enjoy, even if you're having the hardest of times. So many of us want to hold on to the lack of peace we've got. We want to be able to grumble and moan. We want to get sympathy when we could know the peace of God in our hearts. Lots of us are tempted to be afraid. I haven't just got to mask up. I haven't just got to wash my hands. I've got to keep away from every single person in the world for the next... Well, how long? We can be wise, we can be sensible, but we don't need to be afraid. What's the worst that can happen for a Christian? You die. Which isn't so bad. It's a lot worse for the people left behind, but for you, you're going to be with the Lord. You believe these things? Well, it's fantastic. And this Christmas time, don't just enjoy them for yourselves, pass them on. The offers that you get, I mean, mostly they come on your phone these days, but you still get a lot of junk mail in the post, don't you? Offer, 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 offer. The offer that we make isn't junk mail. It doesn't go into your junk mail inbox or your bin at home. This is the best that the world can give. Well, the world can't give it. This is the best that God gives. So please share this message. That's why these books are available. Maybe you're a Christian, but you're really not making the most of these gifts. I'm sure if you go and look in a cupboard or two, you can find Christmas presents from the past that you've just stuffed away. And some of them are probably useless. Things that you never wanted, things that you were never going to use. What could you do with them? But perhaps there's a little bit of buried treasure somewhere in those cupboards. Things that you've forgotten about, that really would be useful. Maybe David has got a saw somewhere at the back of a cupboard that he could use, but he forgot he got it 3 years ago. Wasn't very useful at the time. We could be a bit like that with the gifts of God. We can forget we've got them. We can live as if we don't have them. Well, I'd encourage you to dig them out again this Christmas. As you hear the message, don't just let it go over your head. Realize that it's a reality. These things are true. They're not just nice words. They're not just tradition. This is God's gift. And if these things are not things that you enjoy, if love and joy and peace and hope, the way I've been talking about them this morning, are not what you've experienced, if this is something new to you, then you need to keep looking. Looking at Jesus, seeing how these things come in him. Some people are desperate for these things. Some people know they need them. And all of these offers are wrapped up, in, as I've said, in one person. They all depend on one person. They're genuine offers, not like the shoddy deals that which we're talking about. They come together in one bundle, if you like. And there's a whole lot more thrown in besides. This isn't the half of it. And they're free offers. They're available to everybody. There are no catches. No exceptions. Nobody left out. The only condition to receiving these offers is faith, true faith. Living faith in the baby who was born at Bethlehem. The baby who grew up to die at Golgotha on a cross. The baby who rose to life again. The baby who grew up to ascend into heaven. Who reigns at God's right hand, who will one day return to judge the world with true justice. All these offers, love, joy, peace, hope, wrapped up in Jesus Christ. Whoever you are this Christmas, these offers are for you. We're going to sing to close our service this morning, and it's a hymn of joy. It comes from Psalm 98, which is the old